business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. First of all, I'm in Johannesburg and it's a real pleasure to be back here. Unfortunately, I've got quite a heavy cold and I hope I come across clear and not too nasal. But as I said earlier, it's always wonderful to be back in South Africa. Always wonderful to be able to go around and see different places and then just enjoy what is so special about this place. Many of you will remember many, many years ago, getting money in and out of South Africa was a real story. There was plans that had to be made. There were rules that one had to know. There were secret files. There were organizations. There was a whole network of things that had to happen. And then the new South Africa came around and things became a lot easier. And year by year, it became easier and easier. And South Africa really became mainstream when it came to flows both in and out of the country. And there was the travel allowance and the annual allowance. And then you could apply to what we call the SARB, the South African Reserve Bank. And they were quite generous with what they would allow. So having said that, all your paperwork was in order. But those draconian days were way behind us. Something seems to be shifting. Something seems to be changing. And I'm very proud to welcome Michael Kransdorf, who's the director of the Institute of International Affairs, Tax and Finance. Michael, welcome to Chai FM. Michael, take us through what I've just sort of highlighted. What winds of change are blowing through the SARB?
I think you're correct, Avi, that post 94, there was the sense of a relaxation in exchange control, the idea that if we opened up, we would attract more investment. And I think we've seen over the last few years somewhat of a backtrack with that. A few years ago, the what's called the tax clearance certificate process, or the we recall it an ART, Approved International Transfer Tax Clearance Certificate, was changed. And the level of information that was required for people in order to get clearance to take more than for residents to take more than R1 million a year was increased. More information was provided. I can go into more details if people want to know. But and now what we've seen in the last few weeks is particularly non-residents. Those are people that have left South Africa and that are living abroad, or people that have never been to South Africa in the first place, but have investments here and properties or dividends or shares. There's been quite a strong move by the SARB, by stealth almost, to tighten exchange control. So historically, people, non-residents who either had formally emigrated or who lived abroad, didn't require tax clearance from the South African Revenue Authorities to send income out of South Africa abroad. So if you were a foreign investor and you invested on the JSE and you earned dividends, you could pay those dividends into your foreign bank account without requiring tax clearance from SARS. But last week, to our surprise, the Reserve Bank changed those rules and instituted that non-residents now do require tax clearance for certain categories of income. Some categories they left that you no longer need this clearance, but therefore dividends, which is a big one, rental income, directors' fees, they changed the rules, and now you do require a tax clearance if you're a non-resident. And this is quite a challenge. Some of these non-residents don't even have South African tax numbers, and there's a special process that they have to go, a manual process that they have to go through with SARS to get the tax clearance. So this is just all admin compliance, extra burdens that they put in place. We're not really sure why, but which makes it South Africa very unattractive as an investment destination.
Michael, the first thing that comes to mind when you hear these things are throwbacks to Zimbabwe in the old days, South Africa in the old days, a almost sense of a desperate clinging on to every penny they can possibly have in the country. Has the government given us a reason as to why they've tightened this up?
No, so the response from the Reserve Bank has been the story's been published quite widely now over the last week in the press in South Africa. We issued a press statement, and the Reserve Bank's response was that they did so after consulting with market participants. So they feel they've consulted, but tax practitioners like myself or people that deal with foreign exchange weren't consulted about this, and it wasn't even phased in. So if you can imagine, my business focuses mainly on people that emigrate and need to get their money out of South Africa or need to financially emigrate or cease to be South African tax resident, we call it. Imagine I've got a lot of clients that are living in Israel, say they rely on rental income from South Africa. They might have left properties in South Africa to generate rental income, and they live on that. Older people live on that in Israel. Historically, they were able to just, pay that money into the Israeli bank account and could use it. Now, all of a sudden, overnight, they need an AIT. It can take a month for more than a month sometimes for SARS to approve these tax clearance certificates. And now they're stuck. They don't have, you need money to live. So it's a crazy to say they've consulted is bizarre. Consulted market participants and not to provide like a transition period so that people could at least take out the income that they've accumulated in South Africa before the rules go into effect is also crazy, crazy stuff. And I agree with you that we've seen even on the tax side, we do help a lot of people with refunds for their pensions if they're living abroad, if they've emigrated. And the level of difficulty we're experiencing in helping people get these refunds over the last 6 months has increased dramatically. The required paperwork, the pushback, I would almost go so far as to say the tricks, the nonsense that they come up with to delay paying these refunds. We've definitely seen a marked deterioration, I would say, in the level of that's from SARS, from as well, in addition to the Reserve Bank.
Michael, you and I can sit here and have a two-day discussion as to the delinquency of certain departments and why things aren't working and how they're being delayed. But the truth is that people have deep memories, and a move like this is something that will really trigger a concern for so many investors, because they feel they've been there before. Whether it was north across our border in different countries, whether it was somewhere in South America, or whether it was in South Africa alone. And it's just very, very sad, because as South Africa becomes more and more isolated due to its narrow-mindedness when it comes to its politics and who it chooses to align itself with based on its morality, so to speak, it just becomes more and more difficult for a once proud institution to be able to do its job correctly. But Michael, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's focus on the practical. What do our listeners need to do? What do they need to get in order to make sure that the process runs smoothly? Craig, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. Michael, coming back to you. Michael, you are the director of the Institute for International Tax and Finance. We discussed just before the break that there's a lot of red tape now that's come in almost overnight, preventing people from taking their monthly amounts out the country, whether it's dividends or income or things like that. What do people need to have in place before they come to you screaming and shouting in order for you to help them as efficiently as possible?
Thanks, Abby. To apply for a tax clearance certificate today requires quite a lot of admin on the part of SARS. So one important thing is that you need to provide SARS with a three-year balance sheet, which people find quite challenging, but it's a personal statement of all of your assets and your liabilities over the three previous tax years at the end of the three previous tax years. So that's something that takes people quite a bit of time to compile. It needs to include your bank accounts, your share portfolio, your retirement savings, your credit cards, your mortgage, your house, your car, your personal effects, both your local and your offshore assets and liabilities. And then you also required to provide SARS with your source of funds that you want to remit out of South Africa. Where are those funds coming from? And you need to provide evidence to back that up. So if it's savings and it's in a bank account, that we need a statement, a bank statement that's not more than that's still very fresh. They only give you 2 weeks, which sounds like a lot of time, but while you're busy putting these applications together and you're going through the paperwork so if the bank statement that you're submitting with the value of your cash is needs to be fresh. It needs to be within 2 weeks. Similarly, if you want got shares, that's also a liquid asset that you can get permission to externalize. The statement from the retirement fund or the broker needs to be within the last 2 weeks. If it's older than that, they'll reject it. Also, stupid things like a power of attorney so that we can submit the document on your behalf, copies of your identity document, copies of my identity document, often they can come back and ask questions about your tax affairs. Are they in order? We've had cases recently where you might be the director of a private company and they'll reject your tax clearance application, even though your taxes are up to date. But because the company of which you're a director of, their taxes are not up to date. We've had a few examples of that in the last few months, which is kind of crazy that they actually know where you're a director and they're checking the tax compliance of those companies to make sure that they're up to date. They can ask questions on they sort of grill you, to be honest. They can ask, they can say, we can see on the property register. This is a common thing that's come up lately. They've got access to the title deeds and to the digitalized property registers, and they'll say, we see you sold a house in 2013 and you didn't declare a capital gains tax in your tax return. Can you tell us why that's the case? And so there could be questions and come back to make sure that your tax affairs are in order. In order for them to allow you to have this tax clearance to send the money out of South Africa. If you're a non-resident and you've immigrated, they want to see proof that that you've officially gone through the process of ceasing to be a tax resident and paid all of the taxes that are due to SARS.
Now, Michael, those are the two questions that I'm seeing it coming up a lot. I'm a non-tax resident. I'm a non-tax resident. A lot of those start like that. So basically, those people who've already been through that process and have got a certificate of non-tax residency, are they then, so to say, not encumbered by this new change?
No, they are affected. So historically, those people that have gone through the process with SARS, if they earned income in South Africa, dividends or rental income or directors' fees, a lot of people maybe move abroad, make aliyah, but they remain directors of South African companies and they earn directors' fees. They were able to take that money as non-residents. They could take that income out easily with no questions asked. But now they need to get tax clearance from SARS in order to take that money out. So the only things that don't require tax clearance is interest. If you earn interest income, that they're not requiring tax clearance. Why dividends need tax clearance, but interest doesn't, I have no idea. And salaries also doesn't need tax clearance. So directors' fees do, but if you earn a salary, many people emigrate, but they continue to work for South African companies from abroad. We have lots of clients in that position. And they can actually remit the salary, but not rental income, not directors' fees, and not dividends. Or the big the fourth big categories is distributions from trusts. If you've got a South African trust and you get to receive a distribution from the trust, and you're a non-resident, now you're required to get an ART to remit that income out of the trust as well, which you didn't previously have to do.
Wow, Michael. So, just the last question before we say goodbye to you is a lot of people want to know, quite cute the way it's written, Do I need to go through this annual schlep, or is this a once-off pain and I won't have to do it annually?
If you're generating income and you, every time you want to get that income out, you're going to have to go through this process again. You can only apply for an, this is the craziness of it. You can only apply for an AIT for the amount of money that's in your bank account. So if you get paid dividends today, you can make an application for those dividends. But if you get more dividends in 6 months' time, you're going to have to apply again for those second dividends and go through the process again. With rent, you could have to apply every month if you get monthly rent, if you need access to that money. So it makes really cash flow management very difficult for non-residents with investments in South Africa.
I've actually just gone cold listening to you because it's an entire procedure on a monthly basis for people who often can ill afford it, don't have the time or the means, and it's just going to cause chaos. So, Michael, wishing you everything of the best. Just tell your family I commiserate that they won't be having a December holiday because you've got to do this. All these returns for all these people. It's going to be an absolute nightmare. But please, the moment you feel there's any changes or anything that you'd like our listeners to know or be aware of, please let the common person between us know. And we'd love to give you the airtime because this stuff is really important.
Thanks, Avi. Great to be on the show.
Great. Thank you so much. So anybody who's got money here that they are sending out on a monthly basis, annual basis, please be in touch with Michael Krandorf, the Institute for International Tax and Finance, and make sure you know what you're doing and how to do it. If your accountant is not sure, ask your accountant, be in touch with Michael. Get it done right the first time, because every time you make a mistake, you complicate and compound the issue. Michael, thank you so much. Craig, thank you. Pushing the buttons. We'll speak to you next week.